The dominant storyline in our parsha, of course, is the Chet HaMeraglim, the cataclysmic sin of the spies and their negative report about the land of Israel, the Jewish people accepting that report, and Hashem's very harsh punishment causing the Jewish people to wander in the desert, ultimately for 40 years, where virtually all of that generation dies out before eventually Yehoshua leads the Jewish people into the land of Eretz Yisrael. Well, there is much discussion about the various nuances of the psukim regarding exactly what was wrong with what the Meraglim said and the Jewish people's response, and all of those are important discussions, but certainly if one takes a step back, it's clear that the gist and the message of the Torah and Chazal is that the Meraglim and the Jewish people failed to fully appreciate not only Hashem's promise, but specifically what makes Eretz Yisrael special and a unique place and the destiny of the Jewish people. And therefore, this parsha is a good opportunity to survey some, a very small sample, of the incredibly voluminous number of Mamari Chazal that speak about the importance and centrality of the land of Israel to Jewish life and Jewish thought. As I said, there are almost countless numbers of statements in Chazal and Mefarshim, but I'd like to focus on a small sample of those and specifically hone in on two different points, which are almost mirrors of each other. The first is a number of statements in Chazal that speak in a very positive way about the spiritual potency and benefit of living in the land of Israel. For example, the Gemara at the end of Pesachim, Kufid Gimel Amud Aleph, Yerushalmi in the third parak of Maseches Shkalim, say that anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael is a Ben Olam Haba, seemingly automatically destined for the ultimate reward in the next world to be someone who inherits and deserves Olam Haba. These statements are closely related to the fact that the Gemara in Ksubis, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, says that anyone who lives in the land of Israel is Sharui Belo Avon, is as if they have no sin whatsoever. And moreover, that same Gemara says, even if you walk, just walk for Amos in Eretz Yisrael, Muftach Lo Shuhu Ben Olam Haba. Again, you get promised the ultimate reward in the next world. And finally, just to take one more example, again, of the many, many that we could choose, but to take one more, the Medrash in Mishlei in Parsha Yud Zayin says that someone who not only lives but dies in the land of Israel, so that is a unique skula, and that is a very, very holy death, and such a person will have a complete atonement, mechaperes alavonos. All of their sins will be forgiven for anyone who dies in the land of Israel. Now, these are taken together, these are incredibly inspiring, uplifting, powerful sources, and certainly as someone who lives in the land of Israel, Baruch Shezachisi, I'm very thrilled to read and learn all of them. Nevertheless, I think if we think about it with a little depth, they raise some obvious problems. You know, first of all, just what's the logic? What's the pshat? It's one thing to say it's a mitzvah to live in the land of Israel, let's assume that for a moment, but why should it be an automatic get-out-of-jail-free card? Anytime you sin, you're automatically forgiven just because you live in the land of Israel. You're automatically guaranteed Olam Haba, you're automatically guaranteed forgiveness. What does any of that mean? And secondly, it's also contradicted by our knowledge of both history and explicit psukim. So just to take one example, Yirmiyahu Perek Bet, Pasuk Zayin, V'tavo v'titamu es haratzi, v'nachlasi samtem l'toeva. Right, the Pasuk there specifically has the Navi voice in the Word of God, how the Jewish people have contaminated the land of Israel and turned it into an abomination. Obviously, the Jewish people are being criticized for sinning in the land of Israel. Moreover, most importantly, we know that twice the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews were exiled from the land of Israel because of their sins. How do we reconcile these facts and these psukim with the aforementioned statements of Chazal that would seem to preclude it? How is it possible that we ever get punished for sinning in the land of Israel if Chazal promised that you won't sin, and even if you do sin, you're automatically forgiven? What is going on? So there actually are a number of approaches to understand these statements, but I want to focus on one in particular, that of the great Achron, the Pnei Yehoshua, in his commentary to the Gemara in Masechet Ksubos. And he says that these statements in Chazal that speak about the automatic reward for someone living in Eretz Yisrael, we have to understand them with a little more nuance, a little bit more depth. He says they don't refer to anyone who just happens to live in the land of Israel. They specifically refer to someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, l'shem mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael, someone who lives in the land of Israel specifically because he or she wants to fulfill the mitzvah and they are acutely sensitive to the spiritual potential and the special spiritual status and holiness of the land of Israel. Such a person, says the Pnei Yehoshua, because of their intention to be spiritually aspirational, because of their acute sensitivity to the spiritual potential and power of the land of Israel. So such a person, says the Pnei Yehoshua, the innate holiness of the land of Israel, plus the person's mentality, combined to make it very, very unlikely that the person will sin in the first place. Moreover, he says, even if someone does sin, either by accident or because momentarily their yetzer hara got the best of them, nevertheless, because such a person is so motivated for spiritual growth, so acutely sensitive to the holiness of the land of Israel, so such a person is very, very likely to do tshuva right away, because they will feel so guilty, so terrible about having sinned in this spiritually advantageous and upperly spiritually mobile place. As says the Pnei Yeshua, Zechus Eretz Yisrael Goreim Sheyischaret L'Asiyas Avon. Just the fact that he has that mentality and he's sensitive to the spirituality of the land of Israel will make him do tshuva right away. Therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's what these statements mean, that if you combine the innate spirituality and holiness of the land with a person's high spiritual motivation and acute sensitivity to the holiness of the land, they're very unlikely to sin, and even if they do sin, they are very, very likely to do tshuva right away. And it's all of these ideas which explain these various statements of Chazal. Now to turn our attention to the flip side of that, and that is the fact that the Gemara in Masechta Ksubos, same daf, has some very harsh statements to say about the opposite. Someone who lives in Chuzlaretz, Kaldar B'Chuzlaretz, is comparable to someone who is Ein Lo Elaha, has no God, or Ki'il Ovi Varazara, worse, it's as if the person worshipped the Vodazara. How do we understand that? How could it be? Just because I don't live in Eretz Yisrael, let's assume again that Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Okay, so I didn't do that one mitzvah. But anyone who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, it's Kilu Ein Lo Elohai, has no God. It's Kilu, he worshipped the Vodazara. What does that mean? So again, many answers, many explanations, but let's focus on one. The Sefer HaChaim, written by the brother of the Maharal of Prague, Rav Chaim Loi, and he says as follows. He says, you have to understand, the Gemara specifically said, Kol Hadar, B'chutzlaretz. He said this refers to someone who doesn't just happen to live in Chutzlaretz in the diaspora, but someone who has made the diaspora their permanent home. In his mentality, in his ideology, people have given up hope for Geula, and they consider themselves permanent residents of the land of our enemies. Says the Maharal's brother, this happened in his own lifetime, in his generation. And that's what the Gemara meant, Kol Hadar, not just you happen to live, but someone who has a view of a permanent life in the land of in the diaspora, then that a person has a very, very spiritually deficient mentality.